Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, October 26, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 13, the first paragraph, starting with At the Hospital. We're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Terry H., 12 Traditions, Reggie O., Reader of the Text, Kathy Jo P., Eileen M. will read page 164. The reference number for Sunday, October 25th, special edition, is 15,622. And for this morning, October 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 15626, 15,626. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Betsy H., and Leslie M. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida. And through the grace of Wi-Fi, I'm in Helen, Georgia, and I'm gratefully recovered through the grace of God, one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. And now I'll have Reggie O. read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Reggie.
Hi, good morning, and thank you. I didn't get your name. Who? Just like to say hello.
Sure, this is Dawn B.
Dawn, I thought, okay, thank you. Good morning, Dawn and everybody. This is Reggie O., gratefully here in Los Angeles this morning and grateful to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 13, the first paragraph, starting with at the hospital, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to begin reading. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, family. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. At the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. So I came into OA in 1980. I was 19 years old. And I decided, here it says the word alcohol. And for me today, I replace that word with my alcoholic foods and my alcoholic food behaviors. And when I came in the 80s, I decided my alcohol was sugar. And that worked okay for me for about 7 years, but then I thought I had it mastered and I left the rooms. I stayed out of the rooms for 22 years, hitting a top weight of 303 pounds. And when I finally came back, for me, to the rooms, I had to be hospitalized. And I ended up going to a little treatment place to get off again what I thought was my alcohol, and that was sugar. But I did not give up all of my alcohol. I did not give up all my alcoholic foods or my alcoholic food behaviors. And thank God, by coming to this meeting, the light came on for me, and I realized for the last time, that I needed to be separated from all of my alcoholic foods and alcoholic food behaviors. If I can take a tiny little hit from food, it will get me right back to where I was. And I love here it said treatment seemed wise. What is the treatment that we have in this program? after we separate ourselves from the alcohol, we trust God, we clean house, and we help others. The delirium tremens were a sign that it was hopeful for this man, Bill, because he was separated. He would have a reaction. It should not be easy to be separated from those foods. But we trust God through this process. We clean house, we do our work in the steps, our inventories and amends, and we help others. And I'm going to end with something from the 12th step, working with others, on page 103 in the big book. It says, after all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles, the foods, what we ate were only a symbol. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. And the last thing with that is, I recently heard, I don't wait to get well to help others. I get well by helping others. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. And I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Nicole C.
Nicole C.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Lois P.
Lois P. Okay, let's start with that lineup. We have Melanie C., Jody E., Nicole C., Eileen M., and Lois P. Good morning, Melanie, and if you'd tell us where you're calling from.
I will. Morning. Thanks so much. You betcha. Thanks, Dawn. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Canby, Oregon. Grateful to be up this time of the day and in a program that has saved my life. A long time ago when I read this particular line, it just melted my heart. At the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise. Treatment seemed wise. I didn't go to hospital for my compulsive overeating at the time. They didn't have anything connected to that sort of thing years and years ago in 1989. At least I didn't get my hands on it anyway. And my insurance from the place that I worked wasn't going to cover that. But they covered treatment for another thing. And so I went ahead and took them up on it and convinced myself I could get the help that I needed. And so did this particular administration at this particular facility that was inpatient for 30 days, thought that they could address it as well. Because I really needed treatment. I needed a place to be able to step off the earth and get something done. By that time, I was 33. I had 17 more years when I came out of that particular facility feeling like I was completely done for good. It looks like Bill was, and I had 17 more, and I was just wanting to be able to pitch in here to let y'all know that, for me, food was a very mysterious thing, trying to work that through in combination with whatever was going on into my twisted thinking. And what I was taking in wasn't making any sense. Related to what I've been able to learn since studying the program of recovery from the big book. There were several other options going on. There was a lot, from my mind anyway, lots of choices and different things that I could apply to what I was doing. And I really did take the easier way, but I was not well. I was not well. Of course, this is all in hindsight to see that the treatment that I needed was beyond the scope of what you might consider traditional outside issues and supports. It was beyond any kind of therapeutic pharmaceuticals that you could offer. And I'm not saying that I'm unique. I'm telling you that this disease gets twisted. It gets convoluted around life. And I could not tell the truth from the false whatsoever. When I was able to learn how to recover from the the guide and directions of the program of recovery in this big book, my life changed immediately. I got the proper treatment for the proper condition that has successfully and successively, one day at a time, moved me out of where I was at into that grim, grim place to where I'm at today, recovered, transformed, neutral around food, and my heart is filled with joy. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. And now we'll have Jody E. share with us, followed by Nicole C.
Thank you, Dawn. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in Monterey, California. So I have not been ever to the hospital, and it's been a gradual process of discovering what my alcoholic foods are. I definitely have the obvious ones, which are sugar and flour. But I also have a few others that took longer to uncover. And when I put down the sugar and the flour completely, entirely, then those other foods, those so-called yellow light foods, they emerge. And, you know, the solution is the same. In fact, the yellow light foods were in some ways more difficult to give up than the red light foods. Because I thought they were okay, you know, and they seemed harmless, such as whole grains, some whole grains. But for me, those needed to be put down too. So discovering what it is that I have to abstain from is a process. It was for me. It's individual. We're all different. So there's no one size fits all. We simply have to be honest with ourselves. And no one else is going to tell me what they are. There's no nutritionist, no doctor that I can go to who's going to know what those foods are. But I know. My higher power will tell me. And I do need to be separated from those foods as well if I'm going to work these steps with a clear mind. And I need to have a clear mind to be able to see what I need to see. To get honest with myself. Treatment seemed wise. Well, again, as I said, I've had psychotherapy, but none of that really helped as much. It was helpful, but the abstinence coupled with the 12 steps have been the real solution for me. And I just hope that you will admit to your innermost self that you are a compulsive overeater and that you do have foods from which you need to abstain entirely. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. Now, Nicole C., will you share with us, followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Nicole.
Thank you. My name is Nicole C. I'm in Morgan Hill, California. I'm a compulsive overeater. And this particular paragraph was very, very, very fitting for me when I first came off all of the sauce, as you would. I had such a hard time coming off of all this stuff that I was eating. I don't even really want to call it food because I don't know that it was food, but like packaged things and greasy things and sugary things. I mean, it was just, I feel like it wasn't really an act of me putting food into my body to nourish myself. It was just stuffing my face with whatever anybody would label as food. Because when I was chewing, I wasn't feeling. And I didn't realize that for a long time. But my very first sponsor, she told me, please be easy on yourself. This is like a detox from like when people go through alcohol detox or drug detox, like you really need to be careful with yourself and be good to yourself. This isn't to be taken lightly. If you need to stay home from work, stay home from work. If you need to sleep, sleep. If you need to drink more water, drink more water. And separating myself from the poison for me in the beginning was very difficult because I was expecting too much from myself. I was expecting myself to show up for life and live life like I normally would without any bumps in the road, but just without these alcoholic foods. And I wasn't allowing myself to go through the process of the physical withdrawal. I wasn't allowing myself to go through the process of the emotional withdrawal. I wasn't taking it as seriously as I should have. And so this part was pointed out to me that, you know, we have our own version of a treatment. I mean, putting these things in our body day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, and then all of a sudden not, there's going to be a recovery, physical recovery time, a withdrawal time, a time in which we're learning for the first time how to show up without this being our co-pilot, if you will. And I remember the first time I sat down at work with just my water and my laptop, and I just had work in front of me. And I remember thinking, well, now what do? I guess I just work. Because I was so used to having snacks all over and beverages all over. And that was my co-pilot for life. You know, all the snacks, all the beverages, all the things, all the treats, whatever it was. That was what I believed I needed to live life successfully. And so when those things were gone, it was a whole new learning experience for me. How do I show up for work? How do I show up for my family? And this is a real serious thing. We're relying on this thing that has turned and cut us to ribbons, and yet we want to show up and live life as if nothing's happened, but it has happened. It's very serious. We're separating ourselves from this
time,
and we need to give ourselves some compassion. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Nicole C. Now, Eileen M., will you share with us, followed by Lois P., and then I'll be opening up the lines again for more shares. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Eileen M. Thank you so much for your service. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. And, yeah, this is such a good paragraph. You know, there's so much packed into the two lines of it. And I was thinking back when I found the vision meeting in April of 2016. I had been in OA since 1989. And, you know, I was really struggling when I found this meeting. But, you know, my problem at that time was that I could not tolerate abstinence very long. You know, I had been in this, you know, I'd been in this cycle of abstinence, you know, which was, you know, getting abstinent and then white knuckling and then breaking abstinence and then getting abstinent again and kind of just going around and around in this endless loop, you know. And what I heard on the line, which I was so struck by, was that people were saying that compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, you know, practicing those things were actually blocking me from God. And I had never heard that before, you know, in all these years. And, you know, I had believed in God, but I didn't believe that I had any access to this God. You know, and the time I found vision, I felt like God had moved away and had not left a forwarding address, basically, and I couldn't reach God. And, you know, I did pray, and I did, you know, feel like, God, you know, why can't I get any answers? But, you know, that was actually God leading me to the answer, was having me, you know, find a vision for you. And, you know, in this process of, you know, getting this, finding, you know, a sponsor, I was given the proper treatment, as, you know, someone said earlier, and it was a very structured approach. And, you know, it was that whole fact of, you know, somebody taking me through the book. I mean, it was kind of like that was the magic because, you know, in the past, the sponsors that I had in OA were, you know, they would kind of like say, you know, okay, Eileen, just, you know, call me in the morning and leave your food plan on my voicemail and then just do the tools. And, you know, that worked for a while. But after, you know, as the disease progressed, you know, the tools did not get me to God. And that was, you know, what I needed. That's what I need every day to, you know, live in recovery. And, you know, the old way of sponsoring was that there was no real sense of working together. It was just kind of like, you know, okay, I'm out here on my own. You know, and I think that's how the miracle happened for me. And I had to be completely desperate because, you know, my sponsor said, okay, you got to get 48 hours of entire abstinence. And I'd never heard that before. And I never heard that approach of you're going to get 2 days and then you're going to call me and we're going to read the book together. And that was, I think it was that working together plus the desperation that, you know, made the miracle for me. So thanks so much. And I pass.
Good morning. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered, thank God, in New York. So although I was also never hospitalized, so many times throughout my life, being 80, 90 pounds overweight, totally overwhelmed by life, but yet not showing it, because I seem to be gifted with that ability, like Bill, to just keep on going and doing whatever was in front of me, and I had that false sense of security and identity because I was an achiever. But underneath, the tremors, anytime I came away from my drug that was really carrying me through my life, anytime I tried to stop on my own, I would go through not only physical tremors but emotional tremors. Those were the real tremors for me when I separated from that substance that I had relied on. Instead of this higher power, this relationship with something greater, I was using. I was using a substance, and I was frightened throughout my life, and I was never able to really admit it. So often I'd be driving in my car to work or being at home with the children, taking care of the kids, where I knew I needed to stop my life and go into rehab. I needed to have a break. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do with myself. And yet I could never take the time to just go and find treatment. So I've been in and out of the OA rooms for many years myself. But thank you, God, recently it all fell apart for me. My life fell apart in one night, and I was completely broken, like Bill. And I admitted I couldn't continue on. So the tremors for me began, well, as soon as I stopped my substance use, as soon as I stopped using those carbohydrates and sugars to keep me calm and functioning in life, the emotional tremors were what really I had to look at. My inability to face what was going on outside of me, which was really what was going on inside of me, was the real healing that had to happen. And how I reacted to life all that time was as a scared five-year-old, terrified of everything, not being able to admit it, and yet covering it up with this ego of accomplishment and achievement and whatever else I had going for me. So it was just now, since this breakthrough happened, this breakdown, this complete desperation occurred, that I began to understand it's about a shift, that psychic shift that has to occur where I give up the I and I allow God to move in, and the tremors have stopped, and peace is what I have, and I wish this for everyone. So don't be afraid to give up that reliance on that crutch. There's a much greater sense of foundation and security and safety if you just come into the program, turn your will over, and let someone help you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lois P. And now I'll take names of people who would like to share. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Larry G.
Phil M.
Larry G.
Phil M.
What was your first name?
Phil.
Phil.
I-M.
There we go. Phil M. Great.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Stacy K.
Stacy K. Okay, let's start with that. We have Larry G., Phil M., Deborah G., and Stacy K. Good morning, Larry, and if you could tell us what state or country you're calling from.
Yeah, my name's Larry G., and I'm from Northern California. And I want to thank the October team. It talks about Bill was separated from an alcohol. And I had that same experience in 1981 when I came in Alcoholics Anonymous. I knew I was never going to drink again. But I'd been coming to OA for a long time, and I never had that same experience until May 17th of this year when I joined Vision for You. And I know that I've been separated from my red light alcoholic foods for the last time. And that was like Bill, that was not a gradual educational variety experience. That was a sudden shift, a psychological shift. It was a spiritual experience of a profound nature. But what about the compulsive food behaviors? Saturday, I went to this place. It's a really quiet, loving place. And I really was opened up. My heart was opened up. And I felt so much love. And when I left there, I wanted to eat. And I made a phone call and decided, you know, not to eat this particular food, but to buy another food that I used to have, used to eat prior to May 17th. And it's not an alcoholic food. It's a food that I thought that I could eat safely, but I didn't eat safely on Saturday. And I went into the pit of morass. I felt like I had let Vision down. I had let God down. I had let myself down. I have never felt that devastated ever in over years Anonymous when I ate compulsively or engaged in a compulsive food behavior. I finally made a phone call Sunday morning to a dear person in this program. And, you know, I can't tell the truth from the false at times. And this call was really important because this person showed compassion for me and gave me, lifted me up. And since then, I've made some calls to some new people. I've written a 10-step. And what I've learned quickly is that, you know, entire abstinence. Yes, I will one day have entire abstinence, maybe from compulsive eating. I know from my red light foods, Bill wasn't entirely abstinent. Bill engaged in on sober life behavior. And Alcoholics Anonymous, we call that irritable, restless, and discontent. When I'm irritable, restless, and discontent, I am engaging in unsober-like behaviors. I am a newcomer. I feel like I'm a newcomer in OA and a Visions for You. One more time, I feel like I'm a new person here, and I have to keep an open mind. And this is a lifelong process for me. This was a shock to me. I had forgotten. It says in page 24, I didn't have sufficient memory to pull up the suffering humiliation of a month or a week ago. And so like Bill, yes, I've been separated from food. He was separated from alcohol, but the compulsive eating behaviors are going to show up from time to time because I don't, you know, they may be new to me. I was so fogged up with food that I don't even remember them, and I cannot beat myself up like I did, else I will return to the food. And thank God for this person because she really was compassionate, loving at the right time for me. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. And now, Phil M., will you share with us this morning, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Phil.
Hello, I'm Phil M. I live in Carrickfergus in Ireland, and I am a recovered, very gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Yes, where he said he was hospitalized, I was thinking about the different things, you know, I have dealt with. And one of the biggest things for me throughout my life was treatment for cancer between 2016 and 2017. It developed into stage 4 cervical cancer, and it was terrifying time. When I heard that sugar fed it, I desperately wanted to give it up, but because I was an addict, I'm an addict, I couldn't stop eating the sugar. The different things, my knees hurt, I needed a bath lift, I could get into the bath, but I wasn't sure I could get out. I couldn't walk far, I had double incontinence, I was wearing adult diapers, couldn't go swimming. Getting out of chairs was a challenge, and I was seriously considering getting an electric chair that would tip me out just to make life easier. I was also on antidepressants, unsurprisingly. This time last year, I was 231 pounds. In one of the recorded meetings a week or two ago, I said that I was 231 stone. just a slight mistake, a medical miracle. But no, it was 231 pounds, which is heavy enough. And having worked through the steps, through this vision way, I have been given the grace to drop 63 pounds. I'm 168 pounds now, so I'm not a skinny mini. And I just do not eat sugar now. And I don't worry about the weight. Higher power has that. It's going to take that away in time. And so the other things that are happening, I'm no longer on antidepressants, which is super. My last scans have been clear. Very blessed. I do not need to wear adult diapers. I got to have a few swims over the summertime. I now enjoy going for walks. I have no bath lift. I'm really enjoying my life. I have a connection. I'm sorry about this. I have a connection with my higher power and my fellow recovered and recovering compulsive eaters, and I'm so grateful for these meetings for everyone on the line. Yesterday, I had a Zoom meeting with other women, and it's been something that's been on my heart to do for about 30 years. And yesterday made a start on this path together, and I'm just so thrilled with my life as it is now, and I'm so grateful for Vision, and I'm, you know, the big book is awesome. And thank you very much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Phil M. Now we'll have Deborah G. followed by Stacy K. And then I'll open up the lines again if there's a couple more people that would like to share. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Dawn, and thank you so much for your service during the meeting today and everyone that's made this meeting possible every day that you do this. It's just an amazing, amazing tribe of people that do this to help other people. And all the shares so far, wow, just powerful shares. And I, too, experienced the treatment. I went in for alcohol and then they addressed an eating disorder, and I was in a certain group and saw a nutritionist. And, you know, it really wasn't that much of a treatment, was it? It was just about going through the treatment process. And I did work on a lot of things that I needed to, those emotions that built up that I was using things for. I was able to have those feelings and work on some of it, but I still didn't address the food. And so it wasn't until years later did I start going to OA, and I went to different OA meetings and going through the steps. And yeah, it just wasn't anything. It was like I was going through the motions because I really didn't feel the desperation of a drowning person, the desperation of that willingness of turning that around. And I love Visions, and I love those beautiful 12 steps because that has been my saving grace with any addiction. And I love going through that process because no other place that I've gone to with treatment or counseling or therapy, you know, really have me look at my relationship with that power in step two, you know, admitting that complete surrender in step one, you know, that I have no power, but then that step two experience and then going on through the rest of the steps, that's going to bring me that neutrality after 9 and then 10, 11, 12, continuing to treat that unmanageability that crops up, you know, because the human condition, that stuff still crops up, but at least I have something that I can do today that treats that than other things, you know. And I am grateful for this program and all of you and people that understand, think like I think, and have experienced what I've experienced. I'm not alone, and I don't have to do this alone, and I can hold hands with others in doing this. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. And now, Stacy K., will you share with us this morning? And we're going to be opening up the lines. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning. This is Stacy K. from Colorado. I am a compulsive overeater. Wow, so much hope I'm hearing. you know, that each and every one of us, you know, every day that we have, it's such a miracle. And I thank God every day for this abstinence. You know, I didn't do it, you know, only God. And I just wanted to speak mostly about, you know, this last line or so. I ruthlessly faced my sins. You know, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to look at that stuff, you know, the exact nature of our wrongs. You know, and became willing to have my newfound friend, right, my higher power, take them away, root and branch. I've not had a drink since. I mean, that's just, you know, it's a miracle. And in a way that definitely was the educational variety for me. And that took a long time of being in OA to be able to say, you know, have any continuous abstinence, to be able to say that, yes, you know, God removed that from me. And, you know, but I just kind of want to speak to this exact nature of our wrongs and about spiritual progress that, you know, while it's lifted and I feel neutral about the food, it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm always happy or life is great because I'm a normal weight or, you know, all those things. Life keeps happening. And what I hear when I, you know, when I come to these rooms and hear people share, you know, this hope, is that even through difficult times, the scariest times, that we can grow along spiritual lines. We can still continue to recover. We don't need to rely on food, you know, for that ease and comfort. That when we face, you know, our struggles, whatever they may be, the irritable, restless, discontent, or, you know, we just, you know, we want some comfort in some way, that we have a solution today, you know, and that is going, you know, leaning into that power greater than ourselves. That is taking these steps. That is working with others. You know, that's all these steps. I just finished a 6 and 7. I went through the work again, you know, for another first step problem, you know, that is really, to me, you know, it's a miracle that I can even think about, you know, something else besides food, right, and being a certain weight and all those things. So, you know, thanks everybody for being here, and thank you, God, for this program and these steps and this big book.
Time.
That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Stacey K.
Dawn. This is Naomi B. I am so sorry.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
Oh.
And that's okay. And we got it filled, so no problem. Now I'll take 2 more names of people who would like to share. Is there a couple people who would like to share? And no problem, Naomi. Go ahead.
Joanne B.
Joanne B.
Lorraine N. Lorraine N.
Joanne B. and Lorraine N. Thank you so much. All right. Joanne B., will you share with us this morning? And we're on page 13, the first paragraph. It starts with, at the hospital, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So go ahead. Good morning, Joanne.
Hello, my name is Joanne B. I'm recovered in Texas. And I just want to tell you all how much I've missed you. And I wanted to connect. Y'all are my family. Hearing your voices every day has been good, but I've missed being on the line. You know, when you said paragraph 1, was it also paragraph 2?
No, just paragraph 1.
Okay. I remember I didn't go to treatment, but I remember coming in because one night, I caught myself shoving a food item in my mouth, and shocked me. It really shocked me, and I remember going to bed. I just can't face the world anymore. And the next morning, I remember when I was to get up that I had pulled my covers over, and I was so embarrassed and ashamed, and I had the covers over my head, and I said, God, I don't want to live anymore. I can't do this anymore. But I had no idea where to go. And I remember going to visit a friend who was in another program, our father program, I guess you could say. And she had seen this alcoholic mind in me for years. And so it didn't surprise her. But she invited me to one of her meetings. And I thought, oh, this is where I need to be. Thank you, thank you. And then on the way home from visiting her, I remembered I had heard years before about a fellowship, OA. And so I looked up the fellowship and found a phone meeting. And then one of our visionaries was, I think, possibly chairing that meeting. And she called me after the meeting and sent me to Vision. And, you know, I just am so grateful. And through the years, it took me a while before I could come to that surrender. I mean, it took, I was able to put the food down, but I didn't really for sure believe that I was a compulsive overeater. I just didn't know. I was not, my story was so different, haha. And, but finally, I came to that place. Where I was able to surrender, and I'm so glad, and I'm so thankful to be here, and as someone else said, to walk with someone else, not to do this on my own. I'm so grateful to have all of you, and with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne B., and now we'll have Lorraine N., if you'd share with us this morning. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Dawn, and thank you for your service. Wow, fabulous shares this morning, and yeah, it's just caused me to kind of reminisce about the beginning of my recovery in visions. I had heard about visions. A woman came into my face-to-face meeting, put a phone number up on the bulletin board, and it was for Visions for You, this meeting, and I called it the next morning, and wild horses couldn't keep me off this meeting ever since. I mean, I just couldn't believe the recovery that I heard on this line. And I was, I had been binging and binging. Anyway, I did call a friend. I couldn't afford to check in somewhere. But I did call a friend, and by a series of events, I was able to go to her house for a week, and she helped me. She, an understanding non-compulsive eater, but understood addiction, and I got squared away with my food there, and I just kept coming back to visions every morning, and you know, participating. Becoming, you know, part of visions. And I just want to encourage any newcomers on the line. My abstinence and my relationship with God is evolving over time. My abstinence becomes more refined, and the more I cultivate my relationship with my higher power, the closer I become, and I just have a relationship with higher power today that I've never had before. And gosh, there was so much I wanted to say about all the shares. But anyway, I am just so grateful that God found my way here, and that I just can hear recovery and all the beautiful shares and reach out to some of the people on the line. I mean, it's just an amazing network. This is a sacred room in my world, and I'm just so grateful this morning. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N., and thank you to everyone who shared. You've made this meeting just very, very special. Thank you so much. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.